Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so Kevin Stefanski is the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. He met with the media yesterday. Before he answered any questions, he gave his rundown of the Houston Texans. Let's go through and see just how closely, either how closely we think Kevin Stefanski's been watching the Texans, or just how much he is sugarcoating the scouting report that he has on the Texans. Ben, have the ding and the buzz ready, and we'll just kind of go through this. And as we hear things, I don't know, this is about, what, 60 to 90 seconds, Ben? How long is this bit of audio here? 70 seconds. Okay, so a minute and change of scouting on the Houston Texans. The 1-9-1 Houston Texans through the eyes of Cleveland Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski.
Okay, excited for the challenge this week going on the road against the Texans. We're looking forward to having a great week of practice getting down there. You know, you watch them on tape. A lot of things jump out. Number 31, their running back, I think, is outstanding.
He is 31,
a load to bring down. You see him running away from people, breaking tackles. He has speed out there. I think they have multiple receivers that are big play receivers, a tight end that's making plays for them in the pass game, big, big offensive tackles. So a unique challenge with our defense on the field. But in particular, I think their running back is outstanding. Defensively, you know, it's a Lovie Smith-led defense, so that presents all sorts of different challenges. Obviously, cover two starts to show up, but you don't see a ton of week in and week out, so you got to be really, really precise in what you're doing. And then pressure, man pressure. On first and second down, they're doing a really nice job of being in the aggressive front line movement. So really a focal point for us in defending that scheme. And then special teams, they have a really, really good special teams unit. A bunch of guys that we know, they are outstanding, playing relentless on that side of the ball. So looking forward to going down there and looking forward to the challenge.
All right, so I think his assessment of Dameon Pierce is spot on. Dameon Pierce is a demigod. His assessment of special teams, I think, spot on. I'm still looking to find these playmakers. I looked forever yesterday trying to find those playmakers at receiver that he's talking about. Nico, you are our only hope right now.
The one thing I noticed immediately was that after Dameon Pierce, did he mention a single player's name?
No.
He didn't. No. So he's talking about these big play receivers.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, which ones, coach? I wish one of the Cleveland media members had been like, which one specifically is the big play guy this year, coach? What do you have? I can see that you've done what most of the analysts do, which is take whatever your brain's notion of a Lovie Smith defense is and just throw it out there.
Yes.
I feel like he's on to whoever their next opponent is already.
Yes.
Which might be that might be one benefit. Because they don't play the Texans play a lot of zone and a lot of cover two, but it's actually not a lot more than much of the league. There are other teams that play more than the Texans do. So I feel like he's done a little bit of what I see analysts do. Guys that were coaches like 10 years ago still have the exact same notion of whatever the guy was when they played against them.
It's a Lovie Smith coach defense, so you know that presents some challenges.
Yeah.
Really? Have you watched? Did you watch the first half of the Miami game? Tua didn't look too challenged in that game.
He was correct. Did he say there, or was it in a later clip where he talked about how they will bring pressure?
Yes,
you know,
he talked
about
it. Yep.
Yeah, and they'll blitz, and I always feel like Lovie's kind of dipping his toe in the water with the blitz, and he's going to wait until he gets burned once, and then they might pull back a little bit. The Deshaun's eagerness or aggressiveness, I think, will be the thing that either makes it really rough for the Texans or maybe gives them some opportunities.
Yeah.
You know, I think if Deshaun is pressing because of, you know, obviously the circumstances in Houston and also him coming back and needing to justify his $250 million guaranteed contract and all that, there's a lot of reasons he might press and try to squeeze some plays into windows that he shouldn't. But other than that, it's just the Texans' defense. I mean, I've heard, you know, Lovie Smith and others try to sugarcoat that game last week. Tua Tagovailoa had 300 yards when he was removed in the second series of the third quarter. It was not a good second half. It was a good second half versus a JV quarterback. They let up a game's worth of yardage, passing yardage, in 2.5 quarters of football. So that was Tua Tagovailoa, but who's been playing very well and who has studs. I think Deshaun Watson with Njoku, I think, is the really interesting one to me. Just exactly what he does with an actual tight end, not a Jordan Akins or a Pharaoh Brown or one of these guys.
Speaking of tight ends, Stefanski referred to, they have a tight end who's making plays. That's got to be Jordan Akins that he's seen, right?
Yeah.
There's no other tight end that's made plays for this team.
Who they've seen before, too. I was watching the Browns game from 2020 and Jordan Akins
was
making plays. Yeah.
Was that the one? That was the one that had the weather delay, right? That was in Cleveland.
Yeah.
COVID year. Yeah.
And I'm watching on the TV copy. They don't let you see the all 22 when you go back that far. But the one thing that I noticed, Sean, I don't want to get too technical here. Deshaun Watson is a better quarterback than Kyle Allen.
Wow.
Is that two X's and O's-ish for Drive Time Radio? I don't want to.
That sounds like something you're gonna need to dig deeper on that one, and I'm afraid it might turn off the audience. But go for it. Support your hypothesis.
Do you know you do that thing where you look at the head coach, a picture of the head coach, and a picture of the quarterback of each team before you lay your bet just to be sure?
Yep.
And I like Kyle Allen's boyish demeanor. He's got kind of like that David Anderson Sum 41 vibe to him. I like it. He's like a more clean cut young dude. So, but I still think Deshaun, for however you think of him and his trying to figure out where exactly he's looking in the room, look about him. He's the guy. He's better than Kyle Allen.
I'd say it's the same. Even without 2 years, well, they've both played about the same amount of football over the last 2 years.
Yeah. I think now Kevin Stefanski is probably the one who, you know, he's not all that popular in Cleveland. And a lot of that's basically due to the bipolar type of Baker Mayfield play, where Baker Mayfield at times looked like, man, this guy might really have it. And then at other times he just looked awful. They're going to be able to do a lot more with Deshaun Watson than Jacoby Brissett or Baker Mayfield. And a lot of that has to come down to the stuff that I was watching that I really missed was some of the RPO stuff that they can do with Deshaun. Then obviously Deshaun's scrambling ability. I think they might add and build on some of the things that Bill O'Brien did and maybe do it better because I think that putting the Kubiak elements to what Deshaun could do as well as the RPOs, I think that's going to be a better version than what Bill O'Brien was doing with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, there were two big trades this offseason involving quarterbacks. One was Russell Wilson. The other was Deshaun Watson. The Russell Wilson one is failing right now because of Russell Wilson. It's failing because he started to look a little janky at the end of his Seahawks run there. The hope was that new environment with better weapons, although he had pretty good weapons in Seattle, but the hope was new environment, change of scenery, that there's still some of that Super Bowl caliber Russ in there, putting aside all his personality quirks that rub people the wrong way. That has failed largely because of Russell Wilson, maybe with a little Nathaniel Hackett mixed in. If the Deshaun Watson trade fails in Cleveland, it won't be because of Deshaun Watson, I don't think. My hope is that he's not so stupid that he would continue to do things off the field that he was doing here. My hope is he's got that part of his life squared away. So now you focus on the football part, and Deshaun's 26, 27, whatever he is. He's in his prime, unlike Russ. I think he's really good at compartmentalizing things. I think if the Deshaun Watson trade fails, and failure for it will be that they don't become a perennial playoff contender and get to a Super Bowl or two. I think it'll be because of some things that similarly went on around Deshaun here at the end of his time in Houston, where the roster fell apart because there were a lot of bad decisions made by the front office. I think Deshaun's going to be a great player in Cleveland.
The thing that I wonder with Deshaun, what might happen, and Jacoby Brissett is very popular with the team. You know, from what I understand, what I heard about him, anybody say about him in previous days, the hell of a guy, and people really like him. For a defense that seems to be underperforming based on expectations and just paper depth and ability, that maybe Deshaun and having that kind of a quarterback will be some kind of a spark for them. And also just sometimes, you know, being a more prolific offense. They've been a very efficient offense, but not necessarily a high-scoring offense or anything. If they can get out to some leads on teams and then take advantage of not just Myles Garrett but some of the other pass rushers where they can get just pin their ears back and go, they might end up being a much more complete football team than they are right now. So it's very possible that they go on a run with Deshaun. The more Deshaun Watson I watched last night, and it wasn't just highlights I was watching. And then I went, gosh, Sean, and then I started thinking about the Kubiak offense. So I went back to watch the 2010 Texans and watched Monday Night Football versus the Colts. And then watched Peyton Manning some. And I got starting I was taking a trip through memory lane and watching some of the great players like Arian Foster.
Yes.
And even an Antonio Smith or somebody like that.
Yep.
And I started to get really, really depressed.
Yes.
About the departure of some of the genuinely awesome football players that they've had. And by Antonio Smith, you know, not a Hall of Fame or anything, but just the awesome kind of guy to have on a defensive
Absolutely.
Line.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So just to put that into context, Seth watched a game last night of the 2010 Houston Texans, a team that went 6-10, and was like, God, I long for those days.
Dude, okay, so I'm watching. It was a stroll through memory lane, and I was going to bring it on the air, but it's not good without the visual. But one of the best two-minute sequences I've ever seen in football, I just happened upon, because you come back from break, and it's John Gruden saying something to Mike Tirico. Then they throw to the update. The update is, it looks like Brad Childress is all set to cut Randy Moss in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah!
And the other was that Mike Shanahan, after saying yesterday that Donovan McNabb didn't know the terminology to run the two-minute offense in Washington, today said that he just wasn't in shape enough, that it was his conditioning. That was the update.
Wow.
I don't even remember that. That's 6 years after he was supposedly puking in the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Retro watching is fun.
Next play, Matt Schaub takes like the hardest hit on a linebacker who comes clean up the gut because young Arian Foster hadn't picked up a blitz. And just this guy, I don't know how Matt Schaub was still alive after it. It was an incredible hit. The Texans come in. They're about to kick a 53-yard field goal with, what's his name? The kicker in 2010.
Was it Neil Rackers?
It was Rackers.
Yeah.
It was Rackers. And
God, I hate myself that I remember that, but continue.
The Colts don't have – they have their punt return team on.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, they thought that the Kubiak wouldn't have the gonads to kick a 53-yard field goal. So they come out, and at that point, the Texans were down enough that it was go time. Peyton Manning's on the other side. The Texans are down by two touchdowns. You got to do something. So Rackers kicks a field goal after the Colts call a timeout and get their field goal block unit on. Rackers kicks a field goal that Tirico thinks is no good. It's signaled good. They go to the replay, and this ball bounces off of, like, the upright 6 inches above the crossbar,
yeah,
hits the crossbar, and then goes in.
A double doinker that went in.
Yes, and that was the best Texans football I've watched in 2 years.
The lesson in that story, don't ever underrate Gary Kubiak's gonads, okay?
Yeah.
Don't ever. Don't ever.
Becker's career high at that point had been 54, so it was a gonadish move, I think.
That game was in Indianapolis, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
I was at that game.
Oh, really?
I was on vacation.
I saw you in the crowd.
I was in the press box. I was at, so I was on vacation. So I went on vacation. This is back before I worked here. So I would vacation. I'd go up and visit my dad and my family in October, and I was driving up there, so I stopped in Indy, went to the game on Monday night, and the thing I remember about that game, I was sitting next to Mark Berman. This is in 2010. I was sitting next to Mark Berman in the press box, and I'm like, Mark, you need to get on this Twitter thing. You know, yes. I take credit for Mark Berman getting on Twitter. I said, Mark, because think about it, it's 2010. I had probably just gotten on Twitter like a year and a half before that, like early 09. And I said, Mark, you break so much news. If you were on Twitter, dude, you would be a machine. No. I just need to get people over to the website. The website.
That's you got a URL. Said. Good for you,
in
champ.
2010. I said, well, Mark, here's the thing. You can put links in these tweets that'll get them to the website, too. And he's like, he resisted. Eventually, I got him on Twitter. Go ahead. Yes.
But if he had asked the right follow-up questions, it would have been, will people actually click on the links? And will I actually make money off of this thing that I'll spend hours a day on? Like, no on both of them. It's going to ruin your work life.
I would say someone like Mark, maybe it's not direct monetization where he's getting a check for what he does on Twitter, but someone like him, similar to Schefter.
Schefter, it
makes him a more valuable commodity at his employer.
No, for sure. It's over time. It definitely it makes you the guy.
Mary Kay Cabot of the Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, did an interview with Quincy Avery talking about what they did. He and Deshaun did.
Quarterback
Deshaun Watson's quarterback coach. What he and Deshaun did during the 11-game suspension. During the suspension, they met 4 days a week. So Quincy did a lot of flying from Atlanta up to Cleveland. Quincy lives in Atlanta. And they had Deshaun throwing to 4 to 5 different college receivers during workouts. Is it weird that they were not at liberty to say who the receivers were that Deshaun was throwing to? She never said why. And I was wondering, I'm like, okay, is it an NCAA violation that they were working out with Deshaun? Or
no, that shouldn't be.
I don't think it should be. Or do these guys not want their name out there getting into the Google machine with Deshaun Watson articles?
That might be. Yeah, there might be some element to that.
Yeah.
Or Deshaun doesn't want it. Maybe Deshaun's trying to keep a low profile if those schools find out. Yeah, so it might be all of that.
Yeah.
All of the above on that one. I don't know. You know, because Quincy doesn't shy away from saying, I don't want to say controversial, divisive things on Twitter, I guess. For a guy that works with athletes, he will still put his opinion out there. But I think with Deshaun, you've seen from the very early days till now how everybody in Deshaun's camp or anybody that knows Deshaun has kind of softly backpedaled, you know, and tried to stay out of things. And probably, I'm guessing, Deshaun himself is pushing that strategy to some degree.
Yeah.
We haven't checked on his Instagram or Twitter in a long time.
I would love to check on Quincy's Twitter. He blocked me.
No. I mean on Deshaun's.
Oh, he hasn't blocked me. I checked to see if he's blocked me.
And I apologize. Somebody says, thanks for the spoiler alert, Seth. I was going to watch that 2010 game.
They
lost.
that was when it started really sliding into the toilet for that team.
Oh, somebody said this is bad radio. What in the hell is Seth talking about? Talking about the 2010 Colts versus Texans Monday Night Football game. Oh, yeah. How do you not care deeply about that?
This is the radio we do every day, and it seems to have been successful so far. Quincy Avery blocked me. That's the second person this week that's been newsworthy that's blocked. Am I a bad person, Seth? I've been blocked by Odell Beckham Jr., Quincy Avery, Jay Glazer.
I do think the level of – I think sometimes you reach a certain level when you're on Twitter – Sean, and if you're in sports media where you do forget how acerbic the environment is.
Yeah.
You know who I was talking to? I was talking to Jason Bristol about Jason Bristol, who works at KHOU, sports anchor at KHOU.
Least acerbic person I've ever met in my life.
Very nice guy, but he's in the sports environment. And we were talking about the weatherman who had broken in on the Thanksgiving Day game, the Bills-Lions.
Yeah,
last 2 minutes. I don't even want to say his name because I don't want people going to seek him out. But those good souls over there, the meteorologists, they do not live in the same social media universe that the sports fan does.
Not even close.
And that poor guy just got just relentlessly attacked, and it was apparently it was kind of a shock to the system for him.
So glad it wasn't Cheetah. You know, Cheetah's a good friend, and I was texting her while it's going on. I'm like, your coworker is getting destroyed right now. I am so glad you're on a plane to go see your parents for Thanksgiving. You don't have to be subject. I would have been really conflicted, Cheetah, if this was you. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. We'll talk to. Are we talking to Ravel later in the show? We got Ravel in the 9 o'clock hour. Okay, cool. All right, so Jeff Bagwell appears to have the owner's ear with the Astros. This is going to be an uncomfortable segment for some of you. What is the worst case scenario with Jeff Bagwell's involvement with the Astros going forward? I have four ways he might have something in common with the most reviled front office person in the history of this city. That is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!